Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 63 of The Gut Goddess Show, and today I'm talking about the essential information for the first 6 months of parenting. So I'm talking about breastfeeding, formula feeding, the things, the items that I've used most, the highs, the lows, the foods I've eaten most of, and my best bits of advice for anyone entering the world of motherhood for maybe the first time, or maybe the second or third time. So this is going to be helpful, nitty gritty. So for those of you that maybe aren't going to have kids, maybe this is an episode to skip, although maybe listen to it, might be interesting. There's tons of episodes on this channel that you can go back and scroll through, but I know this is going to be jam-packed with some useful information. But before we dive into that, if you are listening to this live, so you're listening to this around May time, the end of May, I just want to give you a quick heads up that Nourish, my group coaching membership, will be open to new members for a couple of days. So it's going to open on the 29th in the evening of May, and it's going to stay open for just under a week. So if you know you need accountability, you're sick of being tired and bloated, you want to transform your belly, you want to get your energy back, but you don't know how, you need accountability, you're sick of going it alone, you're sick of stabbing in the dark and trying things and being on and off track and on and off a wagon, and you really want to see change, then come and join me in Nourish. It is a small group coaching membership program where I help you to sort out your belly, create a healthy life, and get your energy back. It's really, really awesome. It's much more, it's a more affordable option than working with me one-on-one, but you can get some phenomenal results from doing it. And I also have some fabulous bonuses on with that. So if you're interested in that, then head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/nourish. So supernaturallyhealthy, all one word, .org/nourish. All the information will be there, different membership options. I would love to have you. This isn't like a humongous group program. I tried to keep it quite small so I can get to know everyone in it. And it's so much fun. And people and the women in it see phenomenal results. So I often say, if you can give me 6 months in Nourish, I can transform your health for sure. So if you're looking to make some shifts, see some amazing results, feel your best this summer, end the year feeling like you've actually done those things you've been wanting to do with your health, actually sorted out your health, got your energy back, and can just so that you can get on and live the rest of your damn life without worrying about how bloated and tired you are all the time, give me 6 months to Nourish and I will give you the results that you want. Simple as that. So supernaturallyhealthy.org/nourish. And if you've not left me a review yet, oh, that would be, oh, lovely. If you would just leave me a review. Reviews really help people to see the podcast. It's a really nice way of you also just thanking me for the podcast, but it's also great feedback. I love to hear from you guys. So if you haven't left a review, head over to iTunes and do it there. Otherwise, let's get on with the show. Well, this is exciting. I've been meaning to record this episode, which is going to be the essential information for the first 6 months of parenting for a little while now. So I've got a big long list of some awesome things to go through. So in this episode, we're going to really talk about a couple of the key things that have come up for me in those kind of first 6 months of having my first child. I'm going to do a little bit of a self-interview and ask myself questions. So Kezia, what do you think about this? And hopefully this is going to be a really, really helpful resource for any of you that are thinking about having babies, or maybe you're not thinking about having babies, maybe you don't want to have kids, or you've had all your kids. Hopefully this will still be really interesting and applicable, because you could also apply a lot of what I'm talking, well, some of what I'm talking about to just general health and recovery. But I do get quite a lot of questions about this, so I wanted to summarize it. So the essential information for 6 months for parenting, you can tell I was up a lot of the night with my little boy. My brain is not quite working, but I've got my list, so this is going to be fab. First thing, I want to talk about this properly for a while, and this is feeding your baby. Feeding your baby and keeping them alive is really no joke. For those of you that have kids, you'll be like nodding in that, yes, yes, I could have told you that, Kezia. For those of you that haven't had kids yet, maybe you're thinking about it, it might be in your future at some point. Woofed, feeding your children, keeping them alive, it's hard. So I want to talk about breastfeeding and I want to talk about formula feeding, the things that I've done. So for us, in the end, we needed to do a combination of feeding for those first 6 months. I obviously wanted to kind of exclusively breastfeed. That was always my intention, although I was aware that I might not be able to, or it might be really challenging just because I've seen how challenging breastfeeding can be for other people. So for us, due to various different things that we know about and some things that we don't really understand, I had various issues with breastfeeding. So my supply levels was really low. So my milk didn't properly come in for like a good 3 or 4 weeks. And then even then it was just really low supply, no matter how many oats or fenugreek or blessed thistle or all the pumping every 3 hours throughout all day for 6, 7, 8 weeks, just constant breast pumping, which is just so rubbish. Hate breast pumping. Anyway, so we needed to, and his weight was dipping. And so we have ended up needing to do breastfeeding and formula feeding. So I want to give you a little bit more information, and all the links to things that I talk about will kind of be in the resources section of this, in the, like the show notes of this episode. So number one, it's really worth thinking and being aware that you can do combination. I know for me, because we had to give him some formula within his first week, first week actually. I think he had his first bottle on like day 5 because his weight had just gone really low and there was some other things going on. So you can do combination. Just because you maybe need to give your baby formula, maybe they're premature, maybe they need to gain weight quickly to have an operation, maybe there's other stuff going on, doesn't mean you have to ditch breastfeeding altogether. And sometimes we can feel that way. Sometimes it's like either or, a bit like all or nothing. I either have to do all breastfeeding or no breastfeeding. If you are just breastfeeding your baby once a day and the rest is formula, that is so much better. They're nothing. It really, really is. So I know for me that it felt a little bit like all or nothing. And it was actually my sister who'd done a lot of combination feeding with her kids because I had issues, supply issues and other things herself, was like, just carry on, just give them formula and give them breast milk and just do that for as long as you want to do. So that is always an option. So let's talk a little bit about breastfeeding, and then we're going to talk about formula feeding and what I did and my approach and what I used, blah, blah, blah. But breastfeeding. So we all get told breast is best. And when you look at it from a nutritional science point of view, that is the case. So just from reducing risk, blah, 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 all that things we already know, breast milk is the best source of nutrients for your body. And I'm a holistic nutritionist, guys. So this is my world. And I'm really passionate about the food that we give our children is so important, and it is one of the best gifts I think that we can give to our kids, is actually really nourishing them in the right way. And what we really mean when we're nourishing our children is we are giving their cells the right things to express the right kind of the healthiest genetic form. So in terms of epigenetics, in terms of helping reduce future risk of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, all those kind of things, all depends on how we're nourishing. And nourishing is really about what are the nutrients we're giving our children to help them to grow, to help their organs to grow, their bones to grow, their muscles to grow, their brains, their neural development, all of that sort of stuff. So I'm super passionate about it. But equally, I have learned so much from having to give formula and also choosing to for with Merlin, my now 8-month-old. And so from a nutritional science point of view, breast milk is best for sure. But when you look at it from a holistic perspective, I think actually just fed is best. For us, breastfeeding, so there was the supply issues. So midwives and health visitors phoning me up all the time being like, has your milk come in yet? Are you, you know? And I'm like, no, still pumping away. So there was that supply issues from my side. And that was due with just loss of blood and probably thyroid as well. Thyroid can play a role in your milk production. So thyroid issues run in my family. So I was kind of expecting it in a way. I was just sort of hoping it wouldn't happen. But also then there was the whole excruciating agony that was breastfeeding. Now, breastfeeding, if you might not have known this, if you are thinking of having kids, breastfeeding for a lot of women, not all women, can be really sore for the first, I'd say maybe 2 weeks-ish. Everyone's different, but it can be really uncomfortable as you get used to it, as baby learns how to latch. It's a proper skill that needs to be learned. But I found, so that's relatively normal. It's not fun, but it's relatively normal. For me, breastfeeding was super painful for 5 months. So it was probably only January, end of January time that it started to be less, it gotten less sore probably by like January and Christmas time, but it still took my breath away and was consistently sore. I'd seen so many specialists, breastfeeding clinics, private lactation consultants. I feel like the wilderness dog had watched me feeding my child and said, oh, it shouldn't be sore, as you know, my nipples were bleeding or blistered, or as I was crying, or as I was like biting down on something while I fed my child. It shouldn't be sore. And then I'd be like, oh, it really is sore. And they were like, oh, but it shouldn't be. And you're like, great, thanks. Thanks, guys. So helpful. So breastfeeding was surprisingly painful. And from my perspective, I would much rather go back and give birth like 10 times. Give birth once a week rather than go through the pain that was breastfeeding. So it shouldn't be sore. Like that, what the experts told me, it shouldn't be sore. And a lot of women actually have a really easy and blissful and kind of easy transition to breastfeeding, because depending on baby, if they latch on well and they kind of get the rhythm of it. You should really, if you are thinking of having a baby or pregnant, look for what's it called, like the breastfeeding crawl or something. When your baby's first born, it will crawl up your tummy and latch on. So babies know how to do this 100%. But equally, I think sometimes if you've not had any experience or been around a lot of new mums, you can just automatically assume, oh yeah, I want to breastfeed. Yeah, that'll happen. The things that I've learned is that if you are wanting to breastfeed your child, you ideally really need to prepare yourself for it and decide how determined you are to go through with it, because it might be absolute agony. And just preparing for that, I think, I know it sounds not very optimistic. You're like, thanks, Kezia, great pep talk here. But if you can prepare yourself for that, and then hopefully you do give birth, then that means, and it's easy, then that's a really nice surprise, as opposed to just assuming that breastfeeding will be easy and fine for you and then getting the shock of your life when it's not and having no resources. So for breastfeeding, for me, I knew it could be hard. So I had a good list and number of resources from kind of volunteer breastfeeding experts. We paid a lactation consultant. We did NCT classes. And so they had a breastfeeding support worker with that. We went to the breastfeeding clinic. I knew of all the baby feeding cafes nearby. Like, I had so much support. And so I really would encourage you, if you are thinking, I think breastfeeding my child is going to be really important to me, before you give birth, find out, where are your private lactation consultants? Where are your free kind of breastfeeding support workers? Where is the support that you're going to need? Is there family members that aren't going to be helpful and just not supportive of it? You really need to decide with you and your partner how important this is going to be for you, because it's really easy to give up. And there's nothing wrong with giving up breastfeeding. It's hard. I'm aware that I'm saying this and some of you might be like, oh, I feel bad because I gave up breastfeeding. Giving up breastfeeding can 100% be the right decision for you and your baby, because it is so hard. And if you're bleeding all over the place and your boobs are covered in blisters, and it is by no means about failing at something. It's actually about making a choice. So I suppose what I'm trying to communicate is, it's knowing how important it is to you before you step into it, so that you know when to make that choice, if that makes sense. So for me, I knew it was going to be really, really important. And to be honest, I probably should have stopped in those early weeks, because it was honestly horrendous. But I knew I'd regret it. And I'm actually now, 6 months in, I'm so glad I carried on, because for me personally, knowing how passionate I am about nutrition, I think I would have looked back and regretted not pushing through just because of the value I have for kind of the nutritional science component. And I would have felt probably stressed out that I'd not really completely given it my all. But that's really dependent on my own makeup and knowing who I am. So when it comes to breastfeeding, I think it is a real mix, and I don't feel like I'm communicating this really clearly, so I'm sorry guys, but it's not a clear-cut option. So I have friends that stopped breastfeeding and it was so the right decision. It was for them, for what was going, for what they were going through, for how they were feeling, for their baby, for the stress, for how it was impacting their mental health. So important. And now for me, it was really hard, it was really painful, and it did get me down, but I don't feel like it was that detrimental to my mental health and well-being. For some reason, just by maybe by the grace of God, I didn't pull me down, but I can 100% see how it would really impact your mental well-being, in which case it is a really good idea to stop, because a happy, healthy baby has a happy, healthy mum. And if breastfeeding is making you unhealthy and unhappy and changing because for me, breastfeeding was so painful, it can actually impact your connection with your child, because you're not getting that lovely, ooh, cozy time. You're actually getting like, this is like being stabbed in the boobs a million times. And that could potentially impact the general connection and love you feel to your child, which I think is the most important thing above nutritional science, above all of these different things of breast is best, blah, blah, blah. It's actually about, okay, what is going to help you, your whole holistic health, your mental well-being, your connection with your baby. You know, these are all really important, not just the nutritional science components of it as well. So breastfeeding, concluding marks, get as much help as you can get. Persevere for as long as you can before it starts to detrimentally impact your mental well-being or your kind of connection with your baby. And something is better than nothing. So I still see mums, and I still feel it myself. I can still feel bad and let that guilty voice in my head sound off because I give them formula, which is a fine substitute, but it's not the best from a nutritional perspective. And I can still feel that and hear that noise, but it's just a load of rubbish and nonsense. I can choose to think about that and spend time focusing on that, or I can actually have the perspective of something is better than nothing, actually. And I talk to my clients about that all the time. We can be so all or nothing. Whereas actually I've had friends also where their baby just hasn't latched. So they've just pumped the whole time and they've never been on the boob, but they get bottles of breast milk and they get bottles of formula milk. That is such a great solution. So if you are struggling with breastfeeding, there's lots of different solutions available. You can stop breastfeeding completely and formula feed. You can do combination where you breastfeed a bit and you formula feed. You can express and give your baby your milk through a bottle. You can use express milk and formula milk. You could look at getting donated milk if you have like a prem baby and those kind of things. Or maybe you have a friend. I got some breast milk donated to me in those early weeks from someone I knew who was breastfeeding. Great solution. I was so grateful for that. You know, there's so many different solutions. It's not all or nothing. And you can actually figure out, or the goal is to, what I've learned is that actually for breastfeeding, I needed to figure out what worked for me and what was going to make me happy and align with my values and my goals and help with my well-being. And it doesn't have to be what other people think. It doesn't have to be all formula, all breastfeeding. It can be something that works for me. And that's the biggest lesson learned from the whole process. But now, 8 months in, he's 8 months old. It's one of the things I'm most proud of, I have to say, about this whole journey, is that I persevered with this kind of, with it, even though it was super hard, super painful, super uncomfortable, and it made me cry all the time. But let's talk then about formula feeding. So formula feeding gets a bad rap, doesn't it? And, you know, I've just said things, you know, that it's a fine way to feed your child. It's not the best source of nutrients for your child, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've just talked about lots of those things. And so I just want to clarify, when I say those things, I'm talking about it from a nutritional science perspective. So that's a very singular perspective. That is one little piece of the pie when it comes to approaching to feeding your baby. It is not the be all and end all. There's lots of other components into it. But formula feeding can get a bit of a bad rap in the holistic health world of it's just awful for your baby. and it's like giving them poison. Like, I've read so much stuff and so much kind of like passive aggressive shaming type thing of like, oh yeah, well, if you have to give your baby formula, or I don't know, just loads of crap out there. So formula feeding is great. It's actually been really great to give Millen a combination of food and give him formula and breast milk. It's allowed me to feel a lot freer, a lot less tied down to having to, you know, because if you're breastfeeding your baby all the time, you are the person on all the time. It's not something anyone else can help you with unless you can express into a bottle, which is another option. But it's you, it's all you. And I just knew that I was going to need, I wanted to feel a bit freer. And for me, we needed to give him formula because his weight was dropping. My milk wasn't in, the supply was low. He wasn't latching properly, blah, 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 all the breastfeeding issues. So that was one reason to give him formula from like day five, I think. But also in terms of, for me, I also, from the work that I do with clients, I realize that the best thing that we can do for our health is actually to be in things for the long game. Too often we do quick flash things where we're like, I'm gonna do this for a month or 2 months. And when I looked at breastfeeding, because it was so painful, because my supply was low, because I know I'm an introvert, I like my own space, I'm not one of these people that just wants to be cozied up with my baby in bed all the time. Nah, that's not my vibe. I want to be like getting shit done, which, yeah, I know with the baby, you don't get that much done. But we have this idea that it's a bit all, you know, we have to be all or nothing, quick flash in the pan. So with breastfeeding, I realized actually the best thing for my baby probably is that if I can breastfeed him or give him some breast milk for as long as possible. So instead of being like all or nothing, I'm going to breastfeed him totally for a month, get completely burnt out, frazzled, tired, resentful, angry, not sleeping properly, feeling like I'm alone, feeling like I have to do everything for a month and then giving up. Actually, for me, it would be much better to get help, to have formula, to have bottles where Joe can take charge and feel I take ownership of doing that. And actually, I can have a bit of space, because for me, that's probably going to encourage me and allow me to breastfeed for longer. And so from my perspective, a baby who can get breast milk for a year in trickles, maybe once a day, twice a day, is better than a baby that gets only breast milk for a month and then it's too much and we switch to formula feeding. Actually, I think little and for longer is better. I've not seen any evidence or science behind this, so this is more my opinion. But in so many other areas of nutritional health, this is what applies. We often think, oh, I'm going to eat all the vegetables and go on this super diet for like 3 weeks, and then we crash and burn and go back. And it's not exactly the same, but when it comes to nourishing our babies, it's so much better for them to just continuously get from my perspective, if I could breastfeed him for longer, and if that meant having formula, if having several formula feeds a day allowed me to breastfeed him for longer, that made total sense from my perspective and from a nutritional science perspective. Because for me now, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get past 2 weeks of breastfeeding, then 3 weeks. Like, I honestly wasn't. My initial goal was just to breastfeed him for six weeks. If I could do that, I felt like I was a winner. Then I reassessed basically every week because it was so painful. And I kind of checked in every week to 2 weeks just to see how my mental health was being, how it was impacting it, if it was worth it. I kind of did like little reviews with Joe of like, so should we carry on doing this? Is this manageable? How do you think it's affecting me? How do I feel about it? And I was constantly reassessing. So my initial goal was, I think, 6 weeks. And then I made it to 8 weeks, and then to 10 weeks, and then to 12 weeks. And then I was like, okay, let's try for 4 months. And then by 4 months, the pain had reduced by quite a bit. So I was like, okay, I think this is sustainable for another 6 months if the pain stays like this. And then by 5 months, most of the pain had just disappeared. And it's not painful at all now, which is brilliant. And now that I'm 8 months in. But I think I am only still breastfeeding now because I gave him formula, if that makes sense. So it's a different approach. It's not going to be something that a lactation consultant necessarily says, but doing something is better than nothing. And I really found formula feeding really helpful for giving me that freedom, and has encouraged me and allowed me to breastfeed him actually for longer. So give yourself a break. If you need to and want to formula feed your child, great plan. Also, I had a friend who just decided to formula feed her baby from the get-go, from day one, because she knew she struggled with anxiety and depression and could get quite fixated on and would get quite anxious about how much this baby having and not being able to check. And I thought that was a great plan. I love that. I was like, you totally boss it. Just knowing yourself, knowing, you know what, I can be really inclined to anxiety. I think I'm going to find breastfeeding really stressful. So I'm just going to formula feed. I think that's awesome. Knowing yourself and knowing what is going to, what you need and to set yourself up for success is so important. So formula feeding isn't a second class approach. It doesn't make you a second class mother. It doesn't mean you love your child less. It doesn't mean you don't care about their nutrition. It doesn't mean your baby's health is buggered for the rest of their life. It doesn't mean they're going to be obese and have diabetes and all of these different things. It really doesn't. We have so much influence and so much power over how we nourish our children. It's not just all about breast milk. So if you have chosen to formula feed your baby, go for it. Don't feel an ounce of guilt. I mean, you probably will feel guilty just because I think that's just how our brains work. But don't give it airtime. You are nourishing your baby. You are feeding your baby. And that is amazing. Honestly, you're not a second class mother for choosing to formula feed your baby one like the whole way or combination feeding like me. As a mum, our job is to look after ourselves and to look after our babies and to keep our babies fed. And however we do that is our choice and our prerogative. So just so you know, just for all the you formula feeding mums out there, you're awesome. You're doing a great job. Such a good job at nourishing your kids. Don't worry. But saying that, I do want to talk a little bit about formula feeding. So as in the actual formula, what do you use? Doesn't matter. Should you just buy the stuff that the midwives recommend you, which is normally like all what you get given at hospital, which I think is like Amptil or however you pronounce that. Does it matter? Well, from a nutritional science perspective, it totally does. Now, again, caveat. I'm going to talk about different types of formula feed to give your children, and you might to go, Kezia, I didn't give my child that. I give my child Amptil or Aldi's one or whatever. Oh, I'm a terrible mom. I feel bad. Don't feel bad. You can't feel guilty about things you didn't know about. If this is the first time you've ever had anyone talk to you about how formula, then that's not your fault. That's not your problem. So when it comes to formula feeding, a couple of really important things to note. I will link to the ones that I've used. But like food, quality matters. So you really want to go as much as you can afford and as much as you can budget for as high a quality formula as you possibly can. So for me, this went, I wanted organic. And now there's a couple of different organic formulas out there, but also the ingredients. Just like food, guys, you want to look at the ingredients in your formula. So things you really don't want in your formula are any soy-based, soy lecithin, soy milk, soy proteins. You do not want soy in your baby's formula milk. It's a really estrogenic compound. It's often GMO, poor quality soy. So it's not like even like natural soy. It's very processed. You just don't want soy in there at all. So that was a couple of key things. Also, my big problem with formula is if you look at any formula you have, chances are the main ingredient, you've got whey in there, and then you have skimmed milk powder. Why the frig are we giving our children skimmed milk powder? All the nutrients are in the fat of the milk. And I can tell you why we put skimmed milk in formula, because skimmed milk powder is cheaper than whole milk powder. So this is where I will get on my nutritional high horse and get annoyed, because formula is a great option. I give my baby formula, just to reiterate that, every day. But formula is also a money-making product. It is part of the food industry. So just because it's a formula you can buy doesn't necessarily mean it's got the optimum and best nutrients and ingredients for your baby. Like any food, just because there's a food sold in a supermarket doesn't mean it's good for you. Food is now business. Food makes money. Formula is, they want to make higher profit margins. Higher profit margins mean cheaper ingredients. So cheaper ingredients are things like skimmed milk powder, soy lecithin, I think I've even seen maltodextrin in some of like these kind of very poor quality food ingredients that are cheap to buy, therefore increase the profits for the companies. I know that sounds super cynical, but that is just how food industry works, and it causes a lot of problems, not just for baby formula. So those are the things you want to be aware of. So I spent a while trying to find the first formula I used when we needed it on like day five was just HIP Organic. That's a great quick go-to one. Its ingredient list isn't awesome. I don't love the some of the fats that they add to it, some of the EPA fats, DHEA, although that's really important to add. I think they're quite poor quality. Also, they have soy, I think lecithin in, which again isn't great. And they used organic skimmed milk powder. Again, I would much rather they use whole powder because they'll add skimmed milk powder to formula and then they'll add in the synthetic nutrients like vitamin D and all of those other things that would have just naturally been in the whole milk powder, if that makes sense. So, but that is a great, and that's available in lots of places and I'll still use that to this day. Like they have little pre-made things. I'll keep a couple of bottles of that in the car glove box, in the nappy bag. He goes to nursery with a couple of those pre-made ones as like emergency. When we flew on holiday, those were what was in our flight bag. Those are his emergency go-to. It's really accessible. If you're stuck on holiday and you need to find one, it's pretty easy to get. So that's a good option. It's not ideal, but it's an okay option. And basically through my research, the best option that I could find is by a company called Kendamil. They are a company, I think, based from the Lake District, and their formula is a full fat and organic. There's no soy in there. There's no nasties in there. And it's full fat whole milk powder, which is awesome. And it's organic and it's made in the UK and it's awesome. So that is a great option. It's Kendamil. You can buy it from Sainsbury's. Also, I will link to it on the show notes because you can also buy it on Amazon. It is more expensive. It's like £12 a tub. It's not that cheap, but I would say it's worth it if you can afford it. HIP Organic is cheaper. So if there are budgetary constraints, then that is a great cheaper option. But if you can, Kendamil, really, really great. No crap in there at all. Another thing was that we found that Merlin didn't do well with cow's milk, which I didn't as a baby. So that makes sense. So we actually ended up transitioning to a goat milk formula. So a nanny care. Again, you can buy that from Sainsbury's. You can buy it online. Not all supermarkets sell it, but Sainsbury's definitely do. Or you can just buy it on Amazon. So we ended up using nanny care, which was even more expensive at like £23 a tub. Yep. So that's another reason why we kept on doing combination feeding, because if he was solely formula fed on goat's milk, we would have been spending a lot of money on it. So, you know, that was another incentive to kind of push through the pain barrier to save us some money. So nanny care, that's a great goat milk option. So for us, we noticed that Merlin was getting a lot of eczema on his face and it was itchy and scratchy and he was starting to bleed. For me, I had that as a child. I know I don't do well with dairy, so I pretty much knew that was the reason for Merlin. We switched him to goat milk. I removed dairy from my diet. He was fine. So goat milk is another great option. Alas, this is imported from, I think, New Zealand, so that's why it's so expensive. So those are great options. You can buy them from the shop. I highly recommend. Those would be my favorite formula options. So you've got nanny care, your goat milk option, much more easily to digest, and great if you suspect your child isn't doing that well with cow's milk. And things like eczema, skin rashes, fungal infections, those kinds of things would be indicative of that. Or you've got Kendamil, which is an organic whole full fat version of formula. And then the kind of second rate one, which isn't that awesome, but it's better than not, is your HIP organic one, which is much more readily available. It's not the best, but it's still better than your average non-organic ones out there. Also, another quick note is I also made homemade formula for a couple of months as well before we discovered that just any type of goat's milk just wasn't Merlin's friend. So I'll link to that in the show notes. I did Weston A. Price's homemade formula, which where you use raw milk. It's a total faff to make. Well, it's a total faff to get all the ingredients, but actually to make it, to be fair, was not that much of a problem. So we did that for probably about 6 weeks maybe of homemade formula. So that is, to be honest, the best option is if you can hand source and know exactly what is going into your baby's formula. And lots of kind of midwives and health visitors wouldn't recommend that option. But for me, my personal opinion is something I've made is I trust myself to make my baby's food more than I trust a factory and a business to make my baby's food. It's also not that cheap either. So, and it's based on raw cow's milk. So I get that delivered from down south and a couple of other key ingredients. I will link to the recipe in the show notes of that. So I did that for about 6 weeks. I know that's maybe a little bit controversial and not everyone would feel comfortable doing that. But if you're looking for the best of the best of the best option, homemade formula milk is the best, then you know every single ingredient going into that is kick ass. Also, just to note, I supplemented as well my formula. So with the Kendamil or with the Nanny Care, I supplemented that with some fish oil. So fermented fish oil, a couple of drops of that, just to make sure they're getting that EPA and DHEA, really high quality fish oil in there, which is what some formulas try to do, but they use really crappy quality fatty acids. So I added a couple of drops of fermented cod liver oil to all his formula feeds. I also added some healthy baby probiotics. And I have a whole baby section on my website of all the products I've used for Millen, including baby probiotics and vitamin D and those kinds of things. So I also kind of pimped up the formula feeds, for want of a better word. Also, if he was constipated, I'd add some homemade whey into that as well as the probiotics, as well as the fermented fish rolls, and often as well as the formula feed, as well as the vitamin D in there. So you can also pimp up your formula as well to make sure they really are getting the most nutrient dense, but I did make homemade formula as well. So if you have more questions about that, feel free to ask me. But I realize I've talked about formula feeding and feeding a lot. So other things that I've learned, I'm going to do this quick fire now because I realize time is a going. Other quick things I've learned from an essential information for 6 months of parenting. Nourishing mum. It's really important that mum eats awesome food, and the food that you eat can really help in terms of your recovery. And I feel like my recovery has been much better than I was expecting. And I think that's because I've been really good at nourishing my body. Make sure you're eating really well. I know it's hard. It is a hard time to do it. So this is why preconception care is really important. You actually want to create healthy habits around food before you have a baby. Trying to start eating healthily for the first time with a new baby is really hard. And to be honest, not something I would recommend. But that's why I'm so passionate about preconception care, creating those healthy habits before you enter the world of parenting and all the craziness that comes in. But what you eat really matters. It really, really does. So that is probably number two. Number one is all we talked about feeding your baby, which is a big topic. So number two is nourishing mum. Number three is pelvic floor. Don't just expect your pelvic floor just to fix itself. You need to be intentional doing your pelvic floor exercises, finding a pelvic floor physio to go and see. You shouldn't be incontinent for long periods of time after having a baby. Back problems, prolapse problems, do be intentional about your pelvic floor, because it's not just about weeing, it's also about so many other things. So I did a course with a pelvic floor kind of personal trainer. I've also been to see a pelvic floor physio at the hospital. Be intentional, do your exercises, take time to do it, because you don't want to be peeing yourself for the rest of your life. And also it affects your sex life, it affects your confidence, it affects so many other things. So pelvic floor, be really intentional. I did a 6-week program, I've did a lot of Pilates, and I've been really intentional of going slow with exercise as well. Also with that, don't exercise hard and fast, go super slow. Like I would really wouldn't recommend like starting running 4 months after having a baby. No, way too much often for the system. Okay, and probably number four would be making sure you have some support in place. So in terms of essential information for new parents for the first 6 months, really before you have a baby, again, this is kind of part of pre-baby stuff, is really think about how you're going to get the support you need. So is that a cleaner? Is that family? Is that nursery? Is that having food delivered? What is that going to look like? So I know for me, essential information that I would want to share, or that's been really helpful for me, is actually being really intentional about getting support. So I put Millen in nursery earlier than lots of parents do in the UK. So he went to nursery at 7 months. We get a cleaner every 2 weeks, just for 2 hours. She's coming today. We've had lots of meals sent to us. I have had acupuncture, counseling. I've been invested in chiropractor. We've invested in things to help me and my recovery. So get the support that you can. And I would almost plan in more support than you think you need, for sure. Okay, so let's do some quick fire rounds of where I interview myself. Quick fire round with myself. So the first question I wrote down is what items have I loved the most during these last 6 months? So The two favorite items probably would one be a sleepy head, which is like a little overpriced pillow, basically, that you put your baby on. We bought ours secondhand, I think from Facebook or Gumtree, and because they're quite expensive to buy new. But honestly, now that I would probably have bought it new because we used it all the time, every day. He slept in it. You know, when he was really, really little, I'd put him on that on the kitchen surface while I was cooking dinner. It was just a really nice little place for him to be for those first 6 months. He grew out of it probably by about 5 months because he's a long and big baby. But a sleepy head, loved it. And the second item I've really enjoyed is having glass bottles. So when it comes to giving your baby express milk or formula milk, just reducing the plastic that they get into their system and into their fat stores and all the nastiness, glass bottles, I've loved having glass bottles. And again, they're linked in my little baby section on the page. Okay. What do I wish I'd bought earlier? Because I actually was really careful. I tried to not buy lots of stuff. And the stuff I did buy, I've been trying to get most of his things all secondhand where possible, just because it's cheaper and more sustainable. But I did wish I'd invested in a good sling earlier. I would have worn my baby more, I think. We had a fabric sling, which was great when he was little. But as he got bigger, he was just a bit heavy. And I found the fabric sling a bit of a faff, to be honest. So I wish we'd bought a good sling from the get-go. Next question. What food have I eaten most of? Probably smoothies and homemade brownies. Those would probably be the foods that I've eaten a whole lot of, and some cookies. What would be the best bit of advice I would give for someone entering new parenting for the first time? I always say the best bit of advice is buy an extra freezer and fill it with food before you give birth. That's what I did. I bought a huge freezer, again, just off Gumtree. Even if you just do it temporarily and you keep it in your living room for like the first year of your baby's life and then get rid of it. I bought a big freezer. I filled it with banana bread, cookies, curry, chili, fish pie, liver stew, all the things. Anything, you know, when you go past the reduced section, any soups or sausages that were on reduced, shoved them in the freezer. I bought a big batch of organic meat from a farm, which had really quick, easy to make meats of like sausages and bacon and those things. That would honestly be my best bit of advice. Buy an extra freezer and fill it with food, because nourishing yourself is so important, but it's also, you don't have time to do it. So if you can just defrost stuff, and if you can, for the last kind of 6 weeks of your pregnancy, just a couple of times a week, put a slow cooker on with a curry, with a stew, with a chili, and then just freeze all of it, you will thank yourself so much. So that is one of the best bits of advice. Okay, a parenting high and a parenting low. So a parenting high would be, oh, to be honest, I think it's just the morning times when like you go in and you get him and he just like, he's all happy and just looks at you just with total adoration. And even when I go pick him up from nursery and he's just got his little excited face, he's so cute. Oh, I didn't think you could love someone and something as much as you do your child. But you do, even though they drive you mad, you just love them to pieces. And low would be parenting low. I think just feeding. There was a lot of blood, blisters, pain, tears, breastfeeding. Definite low. But 8 months in, really glad that I persevered with that. But that was a definite low, I have to say. So yes. So I hope that has been helpful. I realize that my parenting essentials have been mainly revolved around feeding your baby. But then, to be fair, feeding your baby, pretty important, guys. Pretty essential. However it is that you feed them, it's pretty essential that we do it. But then I hope that has been helpful. And those have been my kind of main essential lessons learned, really, from the last kind of 6 to 8 months of being a new parent. And it all boils down to give your baby some sort of food and give yourself some sort of food and buy a freezer in order to help you do that. That's probably how it could be summarized, is food. Making sure your baby gets food, making sure you get food. Everything's better, really, when we have good food. So I hope that's been helpful. If you have any other questions about anything that we've talked about, then you can go over to Facebook or Instagram and you can find, just search Supernaturally Healthy and I'm there. You can DM me, message me, leave a comment. I love hearing from you guys. Otherwise, I hope this has been helpful. Please be in touch. I am here to help and serve you. Thank you for giving me your time and your ears. And I hope this has been helpful for those of you that are maybe thinking about having a baby, had a baby, or due. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Sending you lots of love. Bye. I just wanted to hop in and let you know that for a short period of time only, I have the doors open to new members for my Nourish group coaching membership community. So if you're feeling stuck, you're fed up of being tired and bloated, and you feel like you're in this vicious circle where you're like, yeah, I'm going to eat healthy. And then you try and then you fail and you feel like a big fat failure and you just can't seem to make healthy habits stick. You're sick of being bloated and with embarrassing health problems. You maybe can't seem to shift weight no matter how hard you try, and you just feel alone and confused and frustrated and overwhelmed, and you really just wish this whole thing was a lot easier. Then lovely, Nourish might be just the thing for you. So you can find out more at supernaturallyhealthy.org/nourish. The door is open for a limited period of time to new members, so make sure you take action now, and I would love to see you in there.